time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Harla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. Before we jump into our interview, we're going to set the tone like we always do with a little bit of live music. This is The Laughter of This Christmas by Aaron Long. Sit back and enjoy.
Under the stars, past the snow-covered signs, I'll wait for you there where my heart still pines. Do you remember when we were all just children, I couldn't wait for the morning to break, for the signs and the sounds. Underneath the mistletoe and lights, and in between the photograph and smiles, 100,000 colors flash, the laughter of this Christmas will always last for me. Pictures up on the wall tell stories 10 miles long, put joy in their hearts and laughter in their eyes. This is Christmas time. The laughter of this Christmas will always last.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I hope you enjoyed The Laughter of This Christmas, performed by Aaron Long. Our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can go to loveministriesbills.org. org. You'll find all the great information about Love Ministries. Well, I am very excited to jump into our interview for today. We are welcoming two of our friends from Magdalene House. Lisa Kroenke is the executive director of Maggie's House. Lisa started as a volunteer and then joined the board of directors a little later than that. And now she is the executive director of the Magdalene House. And we're also welcoming Mary Shuford. Mary is the capital campaign director for Maggie's House. She also started as a volunteer for 8 years, and now she's been on staff for 2.5 years. So, Lisa, welcome back.
Thank you, Carla.
And Mary, welcome for the first time.
Glad to be here.
So we are so excited that you all are here, and you're here to give us an update about the Magdalene House, about the wonderful work that you're doing there. Our listeners loved having you all last time. And so, Lisa, you brought us a new friend in Mary. And so the first question I want to ask is about, give us the backstory about the Magdalene House, because you all, I think it's been a year or so, a little bit around a year since you've been here. Mm-hmm. So introduce Maggie's House to our new listeners and give us an update for our original listeners of Every Heart, Every Woman.
I would love to. And a lot's happened in the last year and a half since we talked, so this is going to be exciting. Broadcast. So the Magdalene House is also a 501c3. We are a nonprofit agency located in East Dallas. We have been a part of the nonprofit communities for 32 years, since 1987. And so what that looks like and what it has looked like for all these years is we are specifically oriented to help alcoholic women find sobriety and find recovery. So we've put together this entire huge community of women who help each other find recovery and find their faith. The interesting thing about what's happened in the last 4 or 5 years is that we have grown. Mm-hmm. We have grown tremendously. Some of it is based on the population of Dallas growing, but a lot of it is because we have reoriented ourselves so that we can better communicate out to the world, especially with the advent of all the social media,
right,
all of these new platforms that you can communicate through. Mm-hmm. We have been utilizing those, and our programming has grown over. I think we looked at our missions from 2016 to 2018, and it grew over 146%. Of admissions.
Oh my goodness.
So what that looks like is there are over 250,000 alcoholic women in Dallas, alcohol dependent. So a lot of these women don't have the resources. It's not about where our demographic is not indigent. It's not, there's no specific socioeconomic demographic.
Mm-hmm.
It is across all different specters of life, of community, of women here in Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
But what happens is, based on the data, because I'm a data person, it takes 4 to 5 times for a woman to be exposed to some kind of formalized education or treatment for it to take. So by the time women are truly ready to get sober, they have gone through all of their resources. Insurance is not covering them anymore. Their families are just saying, we're done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we step in. That's the gap that we fill. So women will come to us, and they will have a stringent intake process. And we have a 2-week program where they can come and stay with us and become educated on the disease model of alcoholism, learn about how to help other women, and so that they can be prepared to come back as a volunteer and help the women who are currently in the house. The best part of this entire program is that we are completely free. No cost to the women who come to our program.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it not only saves the family a lot of money, because I'm an alcoholic myself,
mm-hmm.
and I went through an expensive rehab that cost my family a lot of money
mm-hmm.
because my insurance had run out too.
Yeah.
So what that does is it saves a lot of families a lot of money. But the other thing, too, if you think about it, we keep these women out of the judicial system. We keep these women out of the medical and the hospital system.
Mm-hmm.
So the money that we save the taxpayer is infinite. Right. The ripple effect of families and what this does to our community is really mind-boggling. So one woman can affect many different facets of our community. And so we're very excited to offer all of these programs, and we're going to continue to grow.
Yes.
And
yes.
That's why we're here.
Yes. And so I went back to your website to get, updated, mm-hmm. to get ready for our talk today. Mm-hmm. And every time I think about it, and I looked at the website and I was thinking, mm-hmm. all of these programmings are offered for free.
For free.
That is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. How are you able to offer mm-hmm. free programming?
What we do is we're completely independently funded. Mm-hmm. There's no government funding. We don't take insurance. What we do is our funding is given by three different parts of our revenue sourcing. One is by foundations that are mission specific or that have the same affinity that we have. Mm-hmm. Two is individuals. That is a little over 65% of our funding is mm-hmm. by individuals. Mm-hmm. And the third is that we have an event every year where we have a formal dinner where people can come and underwrite the dinner. We had Mrs. Laura Bush okay. in October mm-hmm. A couple of months ago, and it was very successful. Mm-hmm. And it really gave us a lot of credibility that Mrs. Bush would come mm-hmm. and speak on behalf of the Magdalen House and alcoholic women in our community mm-hmm. Was a very big deal for us. That's how we are funded. And the beautiful thing about that is being independent is that we can be faith-based. Our okay. curriculum is not directed or dictated by an outside government entity. There's no separation of church and state. Mm-hmm. Their curriculum is not dictated by any one individual or foundation or any kind of outside influence. It's literally dictated by the women who are on staff and what has worked for us. Hmm. And it is faith-based, a very simple spiritual program of action. It's really all about discipleship. It's about helping another woman get to the other side so that they can go out and help another woman as well. It's a pyramid system.
Yes.
I say it's the best pyramid system in the world, and at the top is God. Mm-hmm. And we make no bones about that we are a very specific, very, very simple spiritual program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's wonderful. That's mm-hmm. wonderful. So I'm so excited that you're here to give us an update because all of the conversations we have, the only thing I can think of is if we can continue to have this conversation and kind of normalize this conversation, mm-hmm. because you, like you said before we started, a lot of women are suffering in the dark mm-hmm. and they aren't getting help, or either they're going to different places, starting something, failing, starting, failing, starting, failing. And if we can just bring this conversation to the light mm-hmm. so that it's normal. Mm-hmm. It's normal to get help, and it's normal to find Maggie's house, and it's normal to succeed.
Exactly.
You know? Mm-hmm. That's what we need.
I couldn't agree more. And I think the women who come to us display what it looks like to be in recovery and be successful and also be happy, mm-hmm. be grateful to be an alcoholic.
Yes.
One of the things that we know for sure is that this disease, because it mm-hmm. is a disease, mm-hmm. we teach the disease model of alcoholism. It is a mental illness. That's the DSM. That is the we now know that it's categorized as a mental illness. That we teach that. It is women who have diabetes or cancer are not shunned because they have
right.
these diseases.
Right.
Even though those are physical diseases, they're not mental illnesses, they're still categorized as a disease. Mm-hmm. But what happens is our behavior when we're drinking and using drugs, it looks very it looks like we're doing it purposefully. Mm-hmm. So what happens is once we get this education, we get our mind back and we start getting spiritually connected, we use those stories, that behavior that was so horrible and caused so much shame, that's exactly the tool that we use to help another woman. And when we mm-hmm. do that, God removes the shame.
Amen.
Then we can live free. But we can only do that if we share it with another human being. Mm-hmm. And that's what works so well, because all of our volunteers are ready and able to share their stories. God removes the shame, and then it becomes this cycle that's just so beautiful to watch.
That is the thing that I love about Maggie's House. Like you said, your volunteers are living with joy and freedom.
Yes.
That's the story of the day. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get to the place where you aren't ashamed, you mm-hmm. aren't in the dark, and you aren't hiding your past.
Yes, exactly.
No matter who you are.
No.
That would be a great life, right?
No.
Well, I'm living in joy and freedom, and I'm wholly sharing myself with the world, and I'm showing up, and I'm being present, and I'm saying, listen, God has redeemed, you know, all of these things in my life. Let me tell you exactly what God has redeemed in my life.
Exactly.
That's what we want.
It really absolutely kills me, because when someone keeps all of this disease a secret, mm-hmm. it really becomes about themselves. It becomes selfish in a way, because really we've got to share it. And when you share it, that is when the joy. I didn't find the joy and the freedom that I've got through my faith through not drinking.
Mm-hmm.
God gave me, removed the alcohol from my life so that I could learn how to go out and help other women, to lead them to God as well,
mm-hmm.
to continue this path. I really strongly believe that it is not about sobriety. Recovery is really about helping others.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do that, that's when we find the joy and the freedom.
Amen.
I didn't just sit in a meeting and it happened organically.
Right.
I literally have a poster board almost in my front yard that says, Lisa, the alcoholic lives here. Call me to find God. You know, I believe that's the way that we should live. And when we do that,
mm-hmm.
it comes out of the closet.
Yeah.
We talk about it.
Mm-hmm. That's wonderful. So, Mary, you're in the middle of a capital campaign, and you're doing something groundbreaking. It's huge, because you've gotten to the place where it truly is time to grow. You need more space. So tell us about what Maggie's House is doing with this capital campaign.
Yeah, so like Lisa said, our programming has just exploded over the last several years, and we've outgrown our current facility, and it's also not in great condition,
mm-hmm.
As other nonprofits can probably
mm-hmm.
Attest that happens. But, due to our increase in just traffic and different things going on at our property, it's time to move on. And so we've purchased a facility over on Gaston Avenue that is going to allow us to increase our capacity by 40% in our social detox program. So we'll go from 14 beds for women to come and detox for 2 weeks to 20 beds. So we're really excited about that, because 2019 has been the year of the wait list for us at Maggie's. We've been on a pretty constant wait list for mm-hmm. our social detox program, which mm-hmm. Is great, but we'd like to be able to have the capacity to serve all of the women who want and need our help.
Right.
And then we'll also increase our capacity for our community space by 100%.
All right.
So it's going to be a big move for us. We've started construction, and we're trying to finish up the fundraising, and it's going really well, and we're excited, and I think it's going to be really set us up for a lot of future success and the ability to just serve the Dallas community the way that we desire to serve the Dallas community.
Yeah. And so Gaston Avenue is a beautiful area. The home that you have, it's like you said, it's in need of a lot of repair, and you're in the middle of repairing it, right?
Yes, yeah. So we have done some significant demolition and, tearing out the guts of the house, really, and just starting over. And
mm-hmm.
the cool part about it is that we'll get to the house that we're in currently was actually gifted to us,
mm-hmm.
Like Lisa said, almost 22 years ago. And it was not the layout on the inside we've made work for us.
Mm-hmm.
But the exciting thing about this new property is we're going to get to design the interior exactly how we need it to function for our programmatic needs. So that's the really cool thing, is we'll get to have, you know, a dedicated space for women to be visited by their families, and we'll have a designated space for studying and reading and quiet time, and we'll have a designated space for a more loud living environment and mm-hmm. a big kitchen that'll be built to commercial standards that, you know, the women cook all the meals that they eat. And so it's just, you know, a big dining table, rooms with each room will have their own bathroom. The bathroom situation is
for women, you know,
yeah,
we need
just,
to.
It's yeah. an interesting one when you only yes. have two. So, you know, it's exciting to be able to really serve women the way that we want to, mm-hmm. you know, and that we've just not had the space to.
Mm-hmm. And then talk about the outside of the building. I on Gaston, you know, of course, that's huge. And the curb appeal and how everything is so gorgeous and, you know, looks. So how's the outside of the building going to look?
So we're actually, it sits under a historic overlay. And so we have worked along with the city to really honor the history of the property. Mm-hmm. It was built in 1906. And
okay.
You know, it's a beautiful home. And mm-hmm. so we're going to work to restore it to its historic facade.
Wonderful.
and really honor what was there originally. And the front lawn is going to be beautiful and a mm-hmm. rolling lawn. And I mean, you can actually go online to our website and see some renderings. It's really a beautiful home. And, you know, one of the most important parts for us is that we are a home. It's not a facility. It's
right.
it's a house.
Right.
You know, that's the feel that's been so key to our success thus far, I think, is really just, I mean, we talk so much about community, 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 and so much community takes place in our homes.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what Maggie's is it's a home, and it's home to so many of the women who have come through our doors. And you know, it's home to both Lisa and myself also. And
yes.
so just to keep that vibe of this is a literal house.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Magdalene house,
mm-hmm.
You know, was so important to us. And so the exterior right now is a little messy. We're doing a lot of demolition, but just so excited about honoring the history of Dallas and Gaston Avenue and bringing back, you know, the original facade of that home.
Yeah. And what a blessing it will be to women to come into a place, like you said, that's not a facility, but come into like a beautiful home in order to get the help that, you know, we really need. That's half the battle, I think, right there, where it's not going to feel sterile. It's not going to feel like you're in, you know, some kind of hospital or something like that. You're going to a home. Like you're coming to find your home and find your community,
exactly.
like you said, Mary.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's wonderful. The work that you all are doing is absolutely wonderful. So I, number one, commend you mm-hmm. on, you know, just following the Lord and doing the work that the Lord is called you to do. I want to talk so much about the actual programming, the actual things that happen when you're in Maggie's home. And I also know that there are other programs that you have in the, I guess, the meeting space or the open space that everybody can come back and come to. But I know that we're about to get into a break. So, Lisa, can you just start us off in that conversation about what happens when you come and stay in Maggie's home?
Well, if you recall, we talked about 250,000 women in Dallas-Fort Worth.
Mm-hmm.
So our goal is to reach every one of those women. I mean, literally to kind of put ourselves out of business, that every one of those women are educated about alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
The women come to the house in our social detox program, and we detox them. We help them detox free of medicine. It's a spiritual program that we offer them for
all
two
right.
weeks. But once they complete that program, then what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I got out of rehabilitation, I didn't know where to go, what to do. I got home and I was stuck. I didn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So that is where our peer recovery program comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'd love to talk to you about more in a minute.
Okay.
For sure.
Yeah. So I think that's wonderful. Free of medicine.
Yes.
that's right there.
Yes.
That's like, mm-hmm. that's huge.
It is huge.
Yeah.
And they become clear-headed so they yeah. can be, so that we can get into their minds and, yes. into, and they can learn. They're learners.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. That is wonderful. Okay, so when we get back, we're going to go ahead and we'll talk about the peer program and all of the wonderful thing, other things that I want to get into. I don't even think I've looked at my question list yet. So hopefully we'll get to actual the questions that I had down on the list. It's been a wonderful conversation so far. So we will be right back in just a minute.
To Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We are having a conversation, just an eye-opening conversation, and I thank you all so much for the education piece also that this brings. But we're talking with Lisa Kroenke, who is the executive director of Magdalen House, and also Mary Shuford, who is the director of the Capital Campaign at Maggie's House. So thank you all so much for being here. Thank you for your time. Thank you for your openness. We left off from the break, and we wanted to talk about we said that there's a 2-week program, mm-hmm. but you also have your peer recovery program.
Yes.
And Lisa, I know also that you want to continue to share with us and continue to enlighten us and mm-hmm. open our eyes about what alcoholism is and what it is not. So can you go ahead and continue that conversation?
Absolutely. One of the things that we talked about before the break was how we're going to reach these 250,000 women that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ways that we all agree on as a staff, it's really about education. So when the women reach out to us, one of the first things that we teach is the disease model of alcoholism. And what that does is it plants the seed that this is not a behavior problem,
mm-hmm.
that this is not something that you can control. This is not a choice you're making.
Mm-hmm.
In addition to that, not only do we educate the women, but we also educate the family members. We have a really strong family support program, and so that the women and the family members are speaking the same language. So we also teach, we educate the families on what the disease model of alcoholism looks like from the mental to the physical components, because it's a two-part illness,
mm-hmm.
and it's really important to understand the physical part and the mental part. And it's very simple. The physical part is, once I put alcohol into my system as an alcoholic, I absolutely cannot control the amount that I take.
Mm-hmm.
It has nothing to do with the amount. It doesn't have anything to do with me changing my mind. It literally has, once I put it into my body, I have the inability to stop. I cannot.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that I can control. It looks like this. We call it an allergy. I have an allergic reaction to penicillin.
Mm-hmm.
When I put penicillin in my system, I will die.
Mm-hmm.
I can't stop the physical reaction once the penicillin goes into my system. The same analogy is true for alcohol. Once I put alcohol into my system, I can't stop the reaction, and the reaction is that I want more, period. It looks like I'm changing my mind on drink 4, but it's not. I'm not changing my mind any more than I'm changing my mind around the physical component of penicillin. I absolutely cannot. It is the way that I'm made.
Mm-hmm.
1 in 11 women in Dallas-Fort Worth are alcohol dependent. It is not about my mind. That part's not about my mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's a physical component. Now, that's not the bad news. The bad news is that I drink weird. I've known that for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But the bad news is, stone cold sober, I've got a brain that tells me that I will not have that reaction. And I believe my brain.
Before mm-hmm. you get into the brain,
absolutely,
I wanted to say one thing about the physical allergy, because I think it's so important to know that it's not just a lack of self-control.
Mm-hmm.
For me, when I was educated, and this is, again, what we do at the Magdalen House, is such intense education about what the disease is so that mm-hmm. you can decide for yourself, do I have this disease or do I not have this disease?
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the most important parts about understanding this physical allergy is looking back at your personal experience. So for me, I'm an alcoholic. And for me, my personal experience reflected that I definitely have this physical allergy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I never thought to myself, you know, it would be fun tonight. I'm going to drink so much alcohol that I puke on myself in front of a group of friends.
Right.
That's not a choice.
Right. Right.
I'm not choosing that. And I certainly wouldn't choose it multiple times in a row.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so for me, it was also helpful for my family because my last drink, and this, you know, hopefully doesn't shock too many people, was, you know, I had a bottle of wine before I went to church in Highland Park.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
then I had half a, you know, thing of vodka afterwards and was in the hospital by noon on a Sunday afternoon. Mm-hmm. And when I came to, my family said, were you trying to kill yourself? That's the only thing the doctors could explain to them,
right,
why one would consume the amount of alcohol that I had consumed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was so helpful for them also to know that, because for me it was, nope, I just happened to drink to the point this time where I needed hospitalization.
Mm-hmm.
There was no thought process whatsoever, no desire to take my own life.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to that effect whatsoever. But even doctors looked at it and said, that is the only explanation.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is it's not the only explanation, right?
Yes.
The explanation is I have a body that does not process alcohol the way that a normal person's body does.
Mm-hmm.
And it leads to situations like that. I don't, again, never met anybody who said, you know, it would be fun tonight. I'm going to drink so much that I visit Lou Sterrett.
Right.
Like, nobody
right.
thinks that
right.
way.
Right.
Nobody intends to drink to that extent. But what happens, you know, in that physical component is that, man, there's physically something going on that no matter how hard I try mentally to control it, once that alcohol hits my system, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the important, you know, part too about our detox is it provides a safe space for women to get free physically of the alcohol so that we can set that physical component aside and address what Lisa's about to get into, the
mm-hmm.
real issue,
mm-hmm.
You know, the mind of the alcoholic. But I just always like to put that in there because I
yes.
think it's important for families
yes.
too to go, now I understand, you know, my parents and my sisters to know, hey, my sister wasn't, you know, trying to end her own life. She has a physical response that is not like mine.
Right.
You know, my daughter was not trying to hurt me and wreck her car and, you
right,
know, do
right.
these different things. It was a physical response that is out of her control.
Hmm.
So the key is figuring out how to stop putting it in your body.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Lisa will really hit on.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is.
Thank you, Mary.
So beautiful, Mary.
Yeah.
Your story is really amazing. Mary got sober when she was 17.
Okay.
Years old.
So. All right.
She's one of our young ones, which a lot of people think that I got sober at 44.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be an alcoholic that young,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's just so untrue. And Mary presents such a strong case to so many of our women, and they can relate to her.
Thank you.
The physical allergy is something that I knew that, and because I drank for decades. Mary might have drank for a year or two.
Mm-hmm.
I drank for a decade, mm-hmm. knowing that I drank bad. Because in my 20s, I drank normally. This disease progressed. It looks different in everyone. It progressed so much that my mind told me that I could drink normally. If I could drink normally before, I can drink normally tomorrow. But tonight, I'm just going to drink and just, you know, blow it out,
mm-hmm.
but I'll start tomorrow. Well, tomorrow never comes.
Right.
So I've got this mind that convinces me that I don't have this allergy or that once I drank, because I drank normally before, that I can drink normally again.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is amazing because I cannot differentiate between my truth and my false. My false is that I'm going to drink and I'm going to drink until I die. I'm
mm-hmm.
physically separated from it. And then my false is that I can beat this on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I can do this without community, without faith, that I can take a magic pill or any myriad of a number of treatments or ways that I tried to beat this. Mm-hmm. And I found that I couldn't do it on my own. And so that's what we teach. We really teach the spiritual aspect of recovery. There's a lot of ways to get to God. There's a lot of ways to get to the spiritual place where you ask for help. The curriculum that we use is a curriculum that was back in 1939 was written by Alcoholics Anonymous. Mm-hmm. It is about the help, the helper, helping the helping. You know, it's really about woman to woman helping each other. So this peer recovery program that we have, what we do is it's again, all of these programs are free. Mm-hmm. We reach out to, it's open to every woman, any woman in the recovery industry, in the recovery community, alcoholic women, that we invite them to come and share their experience, their knowledge, give the women in the house hope, and also give each other support and faith. So what that looks like is we have women from all different aspects, all different areas of Dallas. They will come in because in order for me to sustain my own recovery, again, like we talked about, I've got to find someone else to help.
Right.
I've got to find someone else to go and offer and talk to them about what happened to me. Mm-hmm. And the moment I do that, that is when the shame is removed. That's mm-hmm. when God removes the shame. It's when I go out and try to help his people. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because I prayed for so long for God to remove my alcoholism. And my alcoholism is the greatest asset that I have today. Hmm. It is really what gave me my faith. Mm-hmm. And we can teach that. We can show, we can walk the walk to these women who are in the house. And so these thousands of women who come, we had over 10,000 visits to our agency last year. Women who come into our agency to help these other women, they're finding community, they're finding their faith. That is that's our future of our agency. Mm-hmm. We have a finite number of beds and we will fill those beds. But really how we're going to grow and continue to grow and help more women is to broaden this peer recovery program that we have mm-hmm. and try to reach out to as many partners, which is another very distinct part of our agency, is our community outreach program. A great example of what this looks like to reach out to the community is our partnership with the Legacy Court. Mm-hmm. Legacy Court is a judicial, it's a district judge, it's the third 302, it's the court 302. Mm-hmm. What they do is they identify women who have substance abuse problems, either addiction or alcoholism, and their children are being removed from the environment by CPS. Judge Jean Lee identifies these women. And instead of a punitive solution, mm-hmm. putting them behind bars, what she has done is that she has put together an 18-month program that is restorative in nature. So how we come into that picture is that when the women relapse, once they get into this program to get their children back, they've been removed, mm-hmm. and they relapse, we will get a call from the Legacy Court. The women will come visit us, and then we will put them through our social detox program, and then we will give them a treatment plan that they can go into our next step, which is our peer recovery program. It's a structured program that lasts 3 months, mm-hmm. and they eventually, following this treatment plan, will get their children back. And it's all free of charge.
Yeah.
These women cannot afford formal rehabs.
Right, right.
And the state is full. Our state-funded programs, because there's lack of funding from the federal government, they're all full. So, Jean Lee, I mean, this partnership has been a beautiful part of our growth in the last year.
That is... I'm speechless. So that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
That is huge.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? You all, thank you so much for sharing. I mean, I don't know. I feel so much smarter and I don't know, like I just know more than I knew a few minutes ago, and that I can show understanding and show grace and show care and concern in a way that I couldn't before we started this conversation. So This is huge. Y'all, I love Maggie's House. I love what you all are doing. I want to make sure that our listeners know how to partner with you, how they can get involved.
Yeah, so there's tons of different ways to partner with us. As a development staff, my first one I always like to talk about is financially. I mean, a financial commitment mm-hmm. To help us is amazing. I mean, the way that we effectively use every dollar mm-hmm. Is really, I think, extraordinary. And like Lisa said, it's free of charge to the clients yes. that we serve, but it certainly isn't to our agency. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple of ways to get involved financially. There's, you know, you can donate to the organization. You can donate directly to the capital campaign if that spoke to you. But again, that's not the only way to partner with us. One of the other ways you can partner with us is go online and check out our volunteer opportunities. Mm-hmm. There's lots of ways for people to kind of get involved and see where they can be of service to the women if you're looking for that type of partnership. Our volunteer hours save our bottom line hundreds of thousands of dollars. So yes. we're equally grateful for a donation of time and a partnership with your time.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you want more information about what we do or how to, you know, how to partner with us, reach out to myself or Lisa or, you know, fill out something on our website. There's a little spot where you can ask a question or email us. We'd be happy to start a conversation with you and answer any questions that we can.
Yeah. And the website is, give us the website.
It's www.magdalenhouse.org.
Wonderful. And then on social media, because so many of our listeners are, that's how they live their life. That's how we communicate
Absolutely.
Through social media. So on social media, you're?
The Magdalen House on Instagram and okay. the Magdalen House on Facebook.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful. And so I know that when people call, you said that for the actual two-week program, mm-hmm. you are on a wait, but mm-hmm. you don't turn anyone down from the outpatient. Mm-mm. Program.
No, we do not.
Yeah.
This next step program that I touched on briefly is in a beta. We're testing it with mm-hmm. 8 participants in the program to make sure that when we launch it in January that we are prepared as we can be mm-hmm. to give the best, most effective, and most efficient programming that we can offer. Mm-hmm. And it's being, right now, we have 15 people, women, who are on the wait list to try to enter the program in January. Mm. So we're anticipating it's going to explode as well. And so that's really one of the things that if you can't come and stay with us for 2 weeks because you have children, you have job responsibilities, right. there's a lot of different reasons why a person could not come and stay with us for 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We can offer the same type of community mm-hmm. and structure and education in that 3-month program that we're offering.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And I know that you all are doing the work that people really need. And you are doing the work that is helping to reach people. And the other thing that I love about Maggie's House is, like you said, it's not one type of person. So you can't listen to this program and think, oh, it's for someone else, I shouldn't go. You know, the people that are living now with joy and freedom from Maggie's House look all kinds of different ways. And so nobody's off the hook. Nobody's off the hook. So if you're thinking, I need to reach out, I want to reach out, I'm not sure if I should reach out, go ahead and go ahead and reach out. Mm-hmm. How did Maggie's House even get to that point where it doesn't look one certain type of way? Was it just always like that?
Well, alcoholism doesn't discriminate.
That's true.
If alcoholism affects 1 in 11 women, think about it.
Everybody.
It affects mm-hmm. women from Oaklawn to Highland Park to South Dallas. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And culturally, it's black, white, mm-hmm. rich, poor. Mm-hmm. And the beautiful thing about this community is that we're walking shoulder to shoulder no matter who you are. Because Amen. What we have in common is alcoholism and the passion to help another woman. Mm-hmm. So in this kind of polarized community or world that we're living in today, the beautiful thing about Maggie's is that we are all one.
Mm-hmm.
We all understand, and there's such a compassion and grace and love that permeates because we don't look at each other through that lens. We look at each other through the lens of we survived the Titanic,
right.
And we're going to show another woman how to survive no matter what she looks like, no matter where she comes from. And it's really, really a beautiful thing to watch the community come together in a way that we need so much more of these days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I know that you offer programs where people can just come and have fun, right? Mm-hmm. And have community. What are those programs like?
Yeah, so our peer recovery program is primarily where a lot of that takes place. And, you know, it's gone under some reconstruction this past year that's been truly tremendous. I mean, we had this really cool retreat a couple months ago where, mm-hmm. Again, I was just thinking when y'all were talking about just the fact that alcoholism doesn't discriminate. If you were to look at some of the photos mm-hmm. from this retreat, I think most people would assume this is some sort of faith-based something or other. Because
mm-hmm.
generally, when you see a group of people who you think to yourself, those people don't really fit together.
Mm-hmm.
People assume, oh, they're probably a church group or they're probably, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love about our community is that reflection. And we got to see just a really beautiful picture of that through this retreat we had at this little ranch that had, I mean, there was a lemur there. There was a kangaroo. It was so cool. And, you know, we all drove out there together on a bus and there was about, 50?
There was actually 90. There's 50 90. On the bus, but there were 90 attendees.
All 90 right. women mm-hmm. at this, you know, ranch. And we were there from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And it was just, I mean, it was so fun. We
mm-hmm.
That's the other thing is we're a lively group of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so funny. Somebody made a comment recently that we're – it's so interesting – you would think that we were drinking sometimes when we're all together because we're so rowdy.
Having a good time.
And having just so much fun, mm-hmm. loving on each other. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's just kind of bizarre this day and age to see people really enjoying themselves to the extent that we do without
yes.
some form of alcohol or, mm-hmm. you know, something, mm-hmm. you know. But it's really great. And we have a lot of different opportunities to participate in community. At the Magdalene House, you know, we have bake sales and gift-in-kind drives and,
mm-hmm.
you know, we do all sorts of different things. We have a birthday night at the first of the month, every month on Monday night where, you know, there's sometimes 100 women
yeah.
there with their families and
mm-hmm.
picking up birthday chips and celebrating lengths of sobriety. And we have a cake every month and people stay and hang out. It's just really the way that it happens organically to me, is God's the only reason that
right,
that could take place.
Right, yes. And I know I saw on your website you have a Christmas giving tree.
We do.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Yes. So can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so you can go online and kind of see what some of the needs are. There are basic gift and kind needs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as a community of alcoholics drink a lot of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's always a good, but it's just basic
so
needs.
So does everybody.
Yeah. I mean, for us, every you know, tangible need that is donated means another dollar goes towards life-saving programming.
Right,
so
right.
So we try and really utilize that as much as possible. So
mm-hmm.
you can also go to Amazon Smile and look
okay.
at the Magdalene House and see how you can just click and send us a need that we have currently. And so, yeah, I mean, just go online and you'll see a bunch of different stuff about how you can give.
Yes, wonderful. Well, I can tell everyone, I can tell our listeners this. Nonprofits are masters at the way we spend money and the way we cover programming. So if you're thinking that the money that you want to give is a little small, go ahead and reach out to Magdalene House.
Mm-hmm.
They'll figure out how to make it stretch.
Yes.
And,
of, yep.
you know, so reach out, go to the website, Magdalene House, and get connected with this great ministry. And you know, we would just appreciate it. We just appreciate
yeah.
all of the listeners just reaching out. So thank you so much, Lisa and Mary. This was such a wonderful conversation. I hope you come back again.
We will.
You know,
come
back
you,
again. Everyone, our show is a program of love ministries. which is a 501c3 nonprofit. Go to loveministriesbills.org. You can go to my website.